This is an interview with Mrs. Margaret Gray, July the 12th, 1979, at the residence of Mr. John George on the Stansted Highway. The interviewer is Ian Tate. Now, Granny, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where were you born?
I was born in Scotland. On 22nd of November, 1889.
Where were you born in Scotland?
Glasgow.
You were born in Glasgow.
My mother was on a visit there in Glasgow, but the real living Charlem Ben Becula. Mm-hmm. It was my native land, really.
And when did you come to Canada? When did you come to Canada?
1929.
Uh-huh.
In July 1929.
And what were the circumstances? Why did you come to Canada?
Well, my husband did, there was a depression on anyway, and we had moved to Glasgow, and there was very bad depression on. No job. So many out, which was awful. That was in 1929. And we decided we would emigrate to, originally we were supposed to go to Prince Edward Island. Mm-hmm. But evidently they changed the thing of that thing, and we were, we came to Quebec. Bulwer.
Okay, the Bulwer.
Little place called Bulwer.
What was your very first impression of Bulwer? How did it strike you?
Well, this was lovely. The children were delighted because, you see, we had come from a town, and there, on the farm where we settled, there were apple trees and orchards and everything. We were delighted.
So you first came to Canada, you lived on a farm? Yes? When you first came to Canada, you lived on a farm?
Yes, in Bulwer.
Now, what was life like on the farm?
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
We had two horses, and we farmed, and I raised turkeys. You know that before we came to Canada, I had never seen a turkey.
Really?
But no.
They didn't have those in Scotland?
We bought some turkey chicks, and I raised, to start off, I raised 25. They were running around free, you know? And you're not allowed to leave them around, to let them run around free now, are you?
No.
Well, they didn't. So?
So you had to tell me. Now, you said that you came from Glasgow, okay?
Yes.
How did you find the difference in life from living in the city in Glasgow to coming to the eastern townships? Did you find it difficult?
Oh, what a difference. It was marvelous, really.
You enjoyed it?
The fresh air and the freedom, and everybody was so nice. We had French neighbors who couldn't be nicer, really. They were wonderful. And the children loved it. And
your children were born there, were they?
No. There, when we came to Canada, my youngest son was 2.
Now, what's his name?
The next girl was 3. Next boy was 5. 9 and 11.
So they were all born in Scotland?
Yes, they were all born in Scotland. Mm-hmm.
You must have found that very difficult at first on a farm with children. You had no previous experience with farm life, did you?
Yes.
You had no previous experience with farm life?
No, not with farm life, actually. Because where my people belong to the Highlands, in the Outer Hebrides, it was all small crops. And they weren't very... They were poor, actually, they were poor. In the Outer Hebrides then, poverty was rife. And if they had one horse, one cow, a couple of hens, they were well off.
I see.
That's why all the young people left for Glasgow and the town. Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what was a typical day like on the farm? Could you please start with the morning? What time did you get up in the morning?
Ooh. 6 or 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of cows and two horses and chickens. Mm-hmm. I had some chickens. And of course the turkey. Mm-hmm. Want to get the turkey. So we did on there well at the farm. We were on that farm for 12 years in Bulwark.
12 years. Mm-hmm. Now, in the life, in a day in your life, okay, let's just try and recreate it a little bit, okay? You said you got up about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Got up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Now, what was your day's work like? What did you have to do?
Well, I'll tell you. I started off, we didn't have any store bread then. So I used to bake scones. You know Scotch scones?
Yep.
The first thing I did was bake a batch of scones, make the breakfast, and get the children off to school. And give my husband a bit, and he goes out to look after the horses and the cows, and do a bit of plowing or whatever he had to do, and along that line.
Now, what did you do for the rest of the morning?
I washed, for one thing. There was a lot of clothes to wash, in a tub, mm-hmm. with a scrubbing board.
Mm-hmm.
And wringing your clothes by hand and hanging them on the line. No washes or dryers anymore.
That was a lot of hard work.
And if the weed the potatoes if they were growing, or anything that was in the garden,
So you used to take care of the garden?
Yes, sure. We had a good garden too. We had raspberries and gooseberries, and I used to make jam.
How did you make jam?
Yeah, how did I make jam?
Yep.
Well, we didn't have any fancy, just clean the berries, put them in a pot, along with so much sugar, and stir them until they were well
boiled. How much sugar did you put in relation to the berries?
A cup, one cup for each cup of fruit, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Thickened it nicely enough.
All right, boiled down.
Yes.
And then what did you do with it?
What did I do? Well, there was always things to get ready for. When the children came home, they'd be hungry.
Okay, now, did they used to come home at noon?
Oh, yeah. No, not at noon.
No?
No.
What kind of a meal would you have at noon?
There was usual bread, of course, bread and butter, jam, and fried potatoes. We used to fry the potatoes that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing for me. was a meal most of the time.
That was a meal. You lived mostly on potatoes. Uh-huh. And then what about at supper time? What would a typical supper be?
Oh, there was always something for chicken. I was always great one for making a stew.
Uh-huh.
That was one of my chief guys' stew.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have
meat and carrot and potatoes and turnips and vegetables and a good hearty stew.
Yeah. Now, did you?
I used to make a plum pudding and my son was just remembering the other day. He was saying to his wife, "I wish you would make a plum pudding that Mother used to make. She used to make it in a cloth."
In a cloth? Now, what do you mean by that? How did you used to make that?
Put in a cloth and boil it in the pot, you know?
Would you explain that a little more?
Make the plum pudding with currants and raisins and suet and eggs. Mix it all up and put it in a square linen. Tie it with string at the top and pop it into a pot of boiling water and let it boil there for 2 or 3 hours. And boy, this is a good.
Mm-hmm. That sounds excellent. Now, Granny, when was the biggest meal of the day? Did you have it at noon or did you have it in the evening?
Usually when the children came home from school.
So you had it in the evening?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to make soup. Mm-hmm. Make soup. Well, more like broth, thick, you know, or a stew or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then what did you do in the evening?
In the evening?
Yep.
I read.
Yeah.
Doug did hold of a book. I read. Children did their homework. And
now, what do you mean?
My husband sat and smoked.
Now, what do you mean, if you could get hold of a book? Weren't there very many books?
What?
You said, if you could get hold of a book, you would read. Were there not very many books?
Oh, yes. Where did I get the books? Well, some of the neighbors used to loan me some books. It seems to me that there was someone, once in a while, someone came around with books in a van, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while.
Would he lend the books or would he sell them?
You could pick the book, choose the book yourself, you know, and keep it till the next time she came around.
How often was it a man or a woman that did that?
I don't know what they called them. Anyway, they get quite often.
Mm-hmm. Roughly, how often would they come by with the books?
Oh, I think about once a month.
Oh, that was excellent then. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what about sort of special old social gatherings? Did you ever used to have anything like that at the home?
Oh, yes. We used to have it.
You used to have parties?
The parties we used to have, when I told you about that,
you used to have walking? Did you used to do walking in Bulwer?
You know how they made Harris Tweed?
Yes.
They wore the Harris Tweed. And when it was finished, and it used to be a great big row,
mm-hmm.
they all gathered together in this house.
Okay, yeah. No, it's all right, go ahead. They used to gather in the house?
In this house. And they had a great big table, or a trestle, you'd call it.
Yeah.
And the girls were all invited, and the men too, but the boys and men, they stayed outside in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
This performance was finished. this was what they call wall cake.
Yeah.
Washing the tweed. Mm-hmm. And they had a tub of, I don't know if I can mention that.
Well, go ahead, mention it. It's all right.
They had a tub of urine. Is there another name for that?
Urine, that's all right.
At each end of the trestle. Mm-hmm. And each woman had a big bar of soap. Well, they dipped it into it and they slopped onto the thing and sang.
All right, now what do you mean they slopped it on? How did they do
onto
that?
Onto the bowl, onto the plank, you see?
Yeah.
And worked it along from one end to the other while they were doing so and singing at the same time, keeping time to the thump of the soap.
I see.
I think I sang you one of these songs before.
Can you remember one right now?
And just imagine you're thumping it then.
Yeah.
And if you give it to Reed and Valley Shore, give it a call to cruise off the moon, drum a call to all in fellowship. And if you give it to Reed and Valley Shore, and they brought in all some of the local names, you know,
yeah,
to make it more interesting.
Now, what was that song about?
Oh, it Gaelic's very hard to translate.
Yeah,
literally, but it was a dark young man who came to our town, and He was fair beyond compare, and the girls all loved him or something like that. Anyway, they brought in the local names,
yeah,
the local boys, you know, one at a time. And when this was well washed and went round more than two or three times, it was all of and the tweed was taken down to the lakeside, mm-hmm, to be washed. Table was cleared, and they had a ceilidh.
Now, what's a ceilidh?
Party. Uh-huh. And gathering.
Ceilidh, that's a Gaelic word, is it?
How do you spell ceilidh? C-H-E-I-L-I-D-H, I think. Mm-hmm. A ceilidh. Now, a lot of the listeners don't know what a ceilidh is. Mm-hmm. It's a gathering, a social gathering, and anyway the girls and the boys dance. There would be a piper or someone with an accordion. I used to play the accordion.
You did?
Yeah. I was good at it too. And they had a fine time. Finished up with tea, it wouldn't be enough. No whiskey.
No whiskey.
No. I don't.
Tell me, can you remember any more of those walking songs? Could you sing me another one?
Walking song.
Do you remember any more of them? Can't remember any other right offhand, can you?
Can I start right off?
Sure, start right off, yes.
Hamid's keys, Milongi, Hulila, Hulila. Hamid's keys, Milongi, Hulila, Dona, Punirani, 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 Punirani.
You can't remember how it...
My voice gave out.
Don't worry about that at all, Grammy. That's a beautiful singing.
Mm-hmm. I told you that. You read that. See if you can see anything that interests you.
Nope, that's all. Mm-hmm. You said it all. Yeah. Can you think of any other walking songs at all?
Any other walking song?
Yeah.
And
try it. That's beautiful.
I bet that sounds like hell.
No, that's beautiful.
Maybe I better go near the thing.
No, you're all right there. Okay, go ahead.
What is that song about? What is that song about?
It is... Well, it's a boy and a girl. He left her and she was brokenhearted and all that.
Are a lot of the Scottish songs about brokenhearted women?
Yes, haven't they? If you translated it literally, it says, my heart, sore in my heart for a lad who went. This is not the real, literally, you know, but just gives you an idea. Little did I think, last, this time last year, you would desert me as you did. But there you are. But walking songs have deserted me completely. I probably think of one in the middle of the night.
It's many years since you've done the walking, though.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Okay.
Now, tell me, Grammy, when you were living on the farm in Bulwer, did you ever make cheese? Or did you buy it?
We made butter.
How did you make butter?
Churned it.
Right.
Was that one of these churns that you know, bump up and down?
Yeah.
And we got 6 cents a pound for it.
6 cents a pound?
Yes.
Well, I know. There's a big difference in the
six
price then.
6 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're getting for the butter.
And who did you use to sell it to? The people around?
The local creamery man used to come around.
And he'd buy it from you and then he'd sell it? Is that?
Oh, he'd sell it probably. Mm-hmm. Mix it up or something.
Okay.
And that's what we got.
And you lived for 12 years on the farm?
12 years. Mm-hmm.
And after that, where did you move to?
Canada.
No. 12 years in Bulwer. Okay, on the farm. After you left Bulwer, where did you move to?
In Bulwer, where did you live in Bulwer? We came to Lennoxville.
You came to Lennoxville?
Yes, of course. What am I thinking about? My goodness. Of course, by that time, you see, my youngest was 13. And Eileen was 15, and she got a job, and my son Bill, he was here the other day, by the way. He got started with the Bell telephone and been with the medicine.
Really?
And he's 50 now.
He's 50. And how old was he when he started?
Well, when he started with the Bell, he was 16. But even so, that's a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, where did you move to in Lenoxville? Hmm? Where did you move to in Lenoxville?
We moved to Church Street, I think it was. My husband started working with the Ingersoll Rand. Mm-hmm. And he was with them till the day he died. Mm-hmm. With Ingersoll Rand.
Why did you leave the farm?
Because there was nothing to do. The butcher at 6 cents a pound and make 10 cents for your chicken.
You couldn't make it.
The kids are all growing up and they all look for jobs, you know. And then by that time the war broke out. Mm-hmm. And David didn't join and Robert joined the army. Bill was too young for it.
That must have been very hard for you.
Then,
all right, let's just go back for a minute to life on the farm. Okay. Do you remember offhand any stories, perhaps, that you used
to,
any stories that you used to tell the children?
What about?
Well, when they were just young ones, when they were going off to bed, did you used to tell them stories?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember any of those stories?
You mean out of books?
No, stories yourself.
Oh. No, I didn't tell very many stories. I used to read them out of the books. Mm-hmm. Mother Goose and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The only story I had to tell about myself was when I left school, my father died and mother would come out to Glasgow. She had a sister there. And she said, she'll have to go to school. I was 13 at the time. So I went and took one look at the school and said, no, thank you. I went out and got myself a job.
At 13?
As a messenger girl. For a fishmonger.
Mm-hmm.
I've told Mrs. Kimberley already. 5 shillings a week we got.
5 shillings?
And we worked till 12 o'clock at night. We got home at 12 o'clock. And that story that I told Mrs. Kimberley to make her laugh. One Saturday night, I was off late, and she used to slap the addresses onto the packet of fish, you know, and it was sort of obliterated. So when I got to this tenement place, I could not find the number or the name. And I had to go back and get my 5 shillings to the shop. So I took the fish and I threw it over the wall. To the cats, the other feet. You know, I never heard a word about that. Did?
No.
I thought sure I'd be hauled over the coals. Not a word.
So the fish got the cats got a free fish supper.
The cats. Yeah, for 13.
Okay. When you were when you came to Canada, okay. Mm-hmm. When you came to Canada afterwards, did you ever work in Canada yourself?
No, I just worked for my family. Mm-hmm. Which gave me plenty to do. I had to make their clothes, you know, and the clothes were all different. And I had a sewing machine and You know, they had parkas here, and I used to make parkas out of my husband's jacket. Mm-hmm. Cut them off of him, put a band on it, you know, and sewed all their clothes.
You actually made their clothes for them?
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
And how did you do that? Did you buy a pattern, or did you just do it? Did you buy a pattern to make their clothes, or did you just do it yourself?
No, just mostly the Bob's older clothes. There was a lack of pants, I had to buy those. But the jacket I made.
What about the dresses for the girls? The dresses for the girls, did you make those also?
Oh, yes, I made these, yeah. This time my husband was working for the neighboring farm.
Yeah.
And earning a shilling or two. He was sent to Eaton's then. We got the loveliest house dress, 198.
198. About what year would that be?
1930.
That was a lot of money in those days. Huh? That would be a lot of money in those days, wouldn't it? $1.90?
Money then? No, that still, the Depression was still just edging off then. You
see. I see.
The Depression was on full blast from week about 1929.
Did you find it very difficult in the Depression?
Oh my gosh, it was awful. In town, it was terrible. Pretty bad in Canada too. They had bread lines along Sherbrooke Street there, Wellington Street.
Yeah. What was it like? What are your particular, do you have any particular memories of the Depression?
Of the Depression?
Yeah.
Well, the only particular memories I have of the Depression is the price of things. That was stuck in my mind. Mm-hmm. The price we got for our stuff and the price you paid for things.
Nobody had any money?
No money. Oh,
all right, Grammy, could you tell us a little bit about superstitions now?
Yes, the Highland natives, at least the Benbecula natives, are very superstitious. My mother, in special, she really was superstitious. Well, she had this neighbor who lived not so very far away, and they didn't like each other. But her name was Big Ann. Well, Big Ann was standing up on the hill this day, and my mother was coming into the house, and she tripped over something. Well, there's nothing to this day would make her believe that Big Ann didn't knock her down with the evil eye.
Really?
Really, truly.
All right, now what exactly is the evil eye?
What is the evil eye?
Yeah.
My dear boy, that I couldn't tell you. Evil eye is someone that hates you, you know, and is evil, and they believe that they could knock you down like that just by looking at you.
So it was the power of their thought.
Well, she believed that. Nothing would convince her that she knocked her down. They had another belief that a lot of the old people used to go out on the first Monday of the first quarter. Get up in the morning and go out and look carefully to see what you can see. If you saw four sheep facing you or any animal facing you, you were all right for the rest of the month. But if the rear end was towards you, their back was towards you, bad luck. Isn't that awful?
Can you think of any other superstitions?
Superstitions? Oh, there's lots more. fishermen had a lot of superstition. Mm-hmm. Like having a woman on board the boat, bad luck.
That brought you bad luck.
When they go fishing.
Was there any superstition about the weather at all? Bad weather or anything like that? That you can remember.
Well, just the superstition they had about bad weather was a lot of people believe in it today. When the birds fly low, you know, that's not exactly. Is that a superstition?
Well, it's lore.
Don't.
What about it? So if the birds fly low,
that's a sign of bad weather.
A sign of bad weather. Are there any other signs of bad weather that you can think of?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there are lots that I can remember.
Well, we'll skip that one for a minute, and we'll come back a little bit later. What about, were there any beliefs about planting? Planting gardens or planting grain or anything like that. Do you remember anything of that nature?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still beliefs of that kind. Planting when the moon is high. Mm-hmm. You plant when the moon is high.
What does that do?
That's a good time.
That's a good time, yes. Can you remember when, was there anything about planting, I'm thinking more about here in Canada, was there anything, when did you plant your tomatoes? Was there a special time for that? No, you can't remember any of that.
I don't know.
Okay. Tell me, did you ever have any home remedies for sickness?
Yes. Castor oil and Epsom salts. And used to believe if you had a very bad cold in your chest, wear a sheet of brown paper next to your skin.
Really?
That's supposed to
that
be
would,
good.
That would draw the cold out of you, would it? Hmm? That would draw the cold out of you, would it?
Oh, I don't know if it was supposed to. I never tried it, really, but that's what they believed in.
Yes. Were there any other beliefs like that for colds or for rheumatism? Or maybe arthritis or anything like that? You can't think of any of it.
A strange thing, you know, that very few of them suffered from arthritis in the Highlands, and you'd think they would. For the damp and they drank lots of whiskey and that.
That took care of the arthritis.
And Eileen, my daughter Eileen, she said that was the only solace they had. Poverty and the whiskey was the only thing that, you know.
Tell me, did you find much difference in the people from the Highlands and in the eastern townships?
No. Well, I tell you, I don't think there's a great deal of difference anywhere. And human beings are the same all the world over.
They are.
Human nature is the same wherever you go. You have different customs and different habits, but that.
Tell me, when you were here in Canada, okay, at Bulwer, was horse racing ever very important?
Was who?
Horse racing. The farmers didn't used to race horses or anything?
I used to thank the Lord for that. My husband was a compulsive gambler.
Oh, I see.
He would You're not recording this.
Well, never mind. You told me before. It's okay. Did they used to, when you came over, now did the people use horses or did they use cars in 1929?
Horses.
Horses. Now where did they get the horses? Did they used to trade them?
Trade them here and there. I remember the first car we got with an old Ford. And we were going on a trip from Bulwer to Lennoxville. My husband was at the wheel and we were coming daily along down from Sandhill there. And a big truck came up foul.
And hit you.
Cut right down there.
You had a car accident. The first time you were in a car.
First time. And the last in Bulwer, I can tell you.
You never went into a car again?
No, they're not in Bulwer.
You lived there for 12 years and you only went in a car once?
No.
Tell me, something I've heard mentioned by people, did they ever used to have gypsies in the area?
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little bit about the gypsies, okay?
The gypsies lived by themselves, you know, out on the moors. They didn't have a house, they just had tents. And they used to go around selling pails, tin pails, you know, stuff like that.
What did the people think of the gypsies?
They didn't think much of them.
Why was that?
I don't know. They usually bought something from them occasionally, but they never interfered with them or anything, you know. You lived out on the moors among the heather there. And
now that's in Scotland, right?
Yes, Scotland.
Okay. Now, did they ever used to have gypsies here in the eastern townships?
I never heard of them with them.
Because I've heard people mention that the gypsies used to come around. Yeah.
Never heard of them. I didn't know there were any in the eastern townships. Mm-hmm. I was back at the... When I went to school, and I wrote that down for you. Mm-hmm. They had a two-room schoolhouse, which is still standing, and the bell that rang, the school is still standing.
Mm-hmm. This is in Scotland now, is it?
Scotland,
yeah.
In Benbecula, and they had one stove to heat the fairly large schoolhouse, which was heated by peat. You know, that's what they use for a fuel. Mm-hmm. The crofters dug the peat out in the moors in the springtime, in the shape, just a brick shape, and left them there to dry it, and turned them from time to time, and stacked them up. And in the fall, they brought them home in carts. And us children, when we were kids, we each had to take one peat to school to keep the stove burning.
I see. So each of the students. Now, how many students were there in the school?
Oh, there was quite a few. Now let me see. Oh, maybe 35.
That many.
Quite a lot.
And would everybody all sit in the same room with one teacher, or did they have several?
No, one in the same room. It just divided into two. But it was fairly open between the two rooms, you see.
And was there only one schoolmaster?
Eh?
Was there only one schoolmaster, or were there more than one?
One.
Just one schoolmaster for all
one,
the students?
Yes. And, sometimes they had a teacher, a young student, as a boy you would call it.